Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, and the surrounding areas. Sending greetings to you, and you. Praying that you are well today. The weather is fine wherever you are, and that you're staying safe. Yes, staying safe. And we thank God for you that are here. Call your neighbors, call your friends, call somebody today and have them listen to the broadcast today. Oh, we have such a wonderful, beautiful person here to speak with you today. Oh, I know it's going to be just fantastic. So call them. I'm encouraging you while with Sister Diana be praying. We want you to do that. Now, if you want us to pray for you and yours also, 347-857-3925. 347-857-3925. Call it number, punch the one, and somebody get in touch with you. You might want to give your testimony or praise report, whatever you might want to do. Pardon me, but do that while she's praying. And call now. Don't forget to call. We want to get your prayer requests in because we love you. We're concerned about you. Yes, you. Amen. And yours. Whatever concerns you concerns us also. And we thank God. All right. Here it is, Sister
Hallelujah. We bless your name. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of Kings and Lords of Lords, and there is no other God but you. We say thank you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, giving you honor, glory, and praise, we come, O God, asking for forgiveness and those that we're praying for. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespass against us. Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, Lord Father, you know each and every person name by name and what they're in need of, Lord Father. And we thanking you right now for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Benjamin Sr., Lord Father, asking you, Lord Father God, to touch him right now, Lord Father. Father, he has suffered, Lord Father, several strokes and heart attacks, Lord Father. Father, if he don't know you as his Lord and Savior, Heavenly Father, we come asking, Lord Father, don't let him leave this earth and go into a Christless grave, Lord Father. But someone, Lord Father, stand by his side. And Father, lead him, Lord Father, to you right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask you to touch his children, Lord Father. Father, touch their minds as you prepare their minds and their hearts right now. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Miss Aggie, Lord Father. Touch her right now, Lord Father. You know what she's in need of right now. And we're thanking you in advance for the praise report that she will come forth and say. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Vicky, Lord Father, and Ruthie. Father, touch them right now, Lord Father. Both of them have cancer, Lord Father, one in the brains and one behind the eyes, Lord. And Father, we know that you're bigger than cancer, Lord Father. Touch them right now, Lord Father. Touch their bodies, for you said, by your stripes we are healed, Lord. And Father, we're thanking you right now, Lord, for their healing, Lord. We're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your will being done. In the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, dry it up right now from the root cause, Lord Father. We know you can, Lord Father. We know you can. Touch right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Miss Maddie right now, Lord Father. You know what she's in need of, Lord Father, and we asking you right now to intervene on her behalf right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father, we glorify and we magnify you, Lord Father, knowing, Lord Father, that you are that healer and you are that provider, Lord Father, and we thank you. We thank you for being that way maker, Lord. Heavenly Father, touch those right now, Lord Father, that had COVID, Lord Father. Father, we pray against relapses of COVID, Lord. Father, touch Lord Stephen. Touch Vanya right now. Touch Maxwell right now, Lord Father, that has COVID. Touch their bodies right now as we speak strength, Lord Father, to the immune system. Touch their immune system right now, Lord. Father, give them the strength that they need, Lord Father, and those that are alone, Lord Father, look after them, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for concerned families, Lord. We thank you for concerned neighbors, Lord Father, that look on one another, Lord Father. See, Father God, one in need and help, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, we glorify and magnify you, taking nothing and no one for granted, Lord Father. We thank you for the very strength that you give us on a daily basis, Lord, knowing that without you, Lord, we are nothing, Lord, and we say thank you. Heavenly Father, I hold before you today the fivefold ministry, asking you to strengthen them, Lord Father. Father, keep your hedge of protection round about them, those that are standing, Lord Father, flat-footed upon your word, Lord, preaching and teaching your word this day, warning and preparing the people, Lord Father. Father, keep them covered under the blood right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we thanking you, Lord Father, for this very day that wasn't promised to us, O God. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the use of our limbs right now. Father, many don't even have limbs, Lord Father. So, Father, I ask you to decrease, Lord Father, the speaker of the hour, Miss Yvonne, Lord Father. We ask you, Lord Father, to decrease her, Lord Father, as you increase in her. Touch Elder Addison right now, Lord Father. Father, I ask you, Lord Father, to decrease my apostle and bishop, Lord Father, as you increase in them, Lord Father, as they come forth also with the word, Lord Father. Father, give us the ears to hear, Lord, and the heart to receive that word, Lord. Father, as we plead the blood of Jesus over this broadcast, canceling every assignment that was sent towards this broadcast to anyone speaking or listening on this broadcast, and we render it null and void in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way. Take control of this broadcast as we speak healing and deliverance into the midst, Lord Father. We thank you for the listeners, Lord Father, those that are listening, Lord Father, on the airways, Lord Father, those that are listening via computer, Lord Father, touch them right now. And Father, if they need, Lord Father, prayer, Father, if they need to give that praise report, Father, if they need, Lord, Father God, to know you as their Lord and Savior, Father, let them not be ashamed to touch that one, Lord, Father, and ask for it, Lord, knowing that it's no one mad but the enemy right now, Lord, Father. And we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise, Lord, as the word come forth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Well, amen, amen, amen. Again, we thank the Lord for that prayer. If you didn't hear your name called, it's because you didn't give it to us. So call us at 347-857-3925 and give us your requests or give us a report that what God has already done. You know, we'd love to hear, and so would our listeners. We'd love to hear what God has done for you thus far. You know, I know he's done something, you know. He's did something, opened up a door for you, made a way out of no way for you. He's done something. I know he has, because you're still here. And we thank God for it today. Now, call someone now. Listen, listen. You don't want to be selfish today. Just call somebody else, a friend, call a child, one of your children, whatever. They not in school, they home, or some say, hey, pause for a minute, take a recess, and pause, you know, and hear the word. Amen. Be good for you. It will be good for you. Praise God. All right, let me give you this word today. Look for the humor in the serious, the joy in the sad, the strength in the weak, and the best in the bad. Look for the humor in the serious, the joy in the sad, the strength in the weak, and the best in the bad. Are you looking for the, you know, look for the negatives in people, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Don't look for that. Yeah, I know that's what we do in our natural state. We always look for the bad. Amen. And everything we say, we don't say, well, you know, it could be good. We say it's bad, don't we? Ah, my. Well, we're getting out of that today, praise God. We thank God for Sister Diane. And we thank God for his supporter. We thank God for our speaker of the hour, our own Yvonne Addison of Durham, North Carolina. We thank God for her today, and we thank God. Oh, yes, you know what? I'm going to mention this person. We thank God for Miss Suzette. Praise God. We thank God for her today. Yes. We do. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I know you thought we forgot you, but we didn't forget you. Yes, we thank God for you. And God is good. God is good to us. Amen. By the way, Yvette is somewhere in Georgia, where I don't know where she is. But we thank God for her today. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God is good to us. Hallelujah. We thank God for every testimony, everyone that God has done miracles in your life. And, you know, I don't know if she on yet or not, but one of our members moved to Connecticut and lives there. And I know she may be snowbound this day. Praise God. My God. She may be snowbound because she don't usually miss. She doesn't usually miss. If she can get there, she'll get us. Praise God. We thank God for Elizabeth. Praise the Lord, who has, you know, been with us a long time. And she's still with us. And she's still with us even from Connecticut, where she's at. Isn't that wonderful? God still blessed her. And another one I remember is over in the island of St. Thomas. We definitely thank God for her. She don't usually miss anything. It has to be something crucial for her to miss. But we do thank God for her. Amen, amen. When she was here all every time and working. She's a working person, too.
Amen.
Oh, yes, yeah, she works in church. Yes, yeah, she do. Praise the Lord. And we thank God for her and her listening ear and her children, amen, that listen to and a friend. Amen. See, you can bring your friends. You know, y'all can have a party. Amen. Hallelujah. And we thank God for you. You know, I just wanted to mention you today to let you know that we appreciate you being on. You be on the blog talk. You be on our prayer line also, and our Bible study and our church service. Now, you know, you're supposed to give honor to who honor is due, don't you? Isn't that right? Amen. So that's what we're doing, giving honor to them that they're there. And some more, praise God. But praise God, we just want you to know because you're faithful. But you know, we appreciate you. We all appreciate you. We're going to give you a big hug. Feel that hug? Don't you feel that hug? We all squeeze you. Amen. All of us squeeze you. Amen, praise God. But we thank God for you. You know, we're not going to hold you any longer because we want our own Yvonne to, we want her to give all she got and then some. And we want you to listen, okay? Listen, how about this? Why don't you ask a question? You may hear something that was said. And it would be so nice. Okay, I tell you what. Why don't you try the speaker by asking questions? I'm trying to get you motivated today. Try the speaker by asking questions. Huh? Come on. Now, you could do that. I know you could do that. You have some, write your question down now. So at the end, you can ask a question. We're going to leave time for you to ask a question or give your opinion or something you don't understand. Ask that. Say, I don't understand thus and so. But now write it down so you don't forget it. You know how you are. Write it down so you don't forget it. All right, what you want to know when you hear her speak, because she's a wonderful woman of God, okay? And she really does a good job, real good job, and she makes it plain. Amen, she makes it plain. So I want you to get your ears ready now. Take your earphone off now. If it ain't connected to this broadcast, take them off now and put the right one on so you can hear everything that she's saying, okay? Now, you're going to do that for me, right? Come on, say yeah. I know you're going to say yeah right where you are. Yes, you are. All right, people, we're not going to hold on any longer because we're going to give all the time she needs today. None of the time. She is an elder. She's a clinical therapist, isn't that it? Somewhere like that. I guess I said it right. And she's that, and then she's some other stuff, too. You know, she's some other things. She's a liturgical dancer also. Yes, she danced also. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
My God, Jill of all trades, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you know what? I am just so glad that she's related to me biological. I'm glad of that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it costs nothing. Amen. I am so happy with that, too. Praise the Lord. To find someone in your family that you can speak well of.
Amen.
Praise God. Because some of them are really, you know what, and we won't go there. Praise God. But we want to bring her to you, ladies and gentlemen. Every one of you, wherever you are today, have your pen, pencil, and papers ready. come on, get your pencil and paper ready so you can write down some important things, things that you lack, things that you may have to do, whatever the case may be. Something gave you a mind to testify. And just punch the button, the little white button, and we will, you know, get your question in. Okay? Amen. That is what you're going to do today. Those are instructions. Now, can you follow instructions? Okay. Now, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, that beautiful woman of God, Yvonne Addison.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Apostle Gloria, for that wonderful introduction. I bless the Lord. To God be the glory, giving honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow, who is the Lord of my life. I bless the Lord for Apostle Gloria and Bishop Porter, and I bless the Lord for them. I praise God for them and Sister Diane and everyone who's listening in on today. I pray that the word that the Lord has given me, what he's given me today, will bless our hearts. So I just thank the Lord. And as Gloria was saying, that, you know, just a wonderful thing to have family relationships, to have relationships that are good, that are healthy. And I bless the Lord because, you know, God brought us together. We did not have a relationship for a very long time, but God saw fit to bring us together, and has been a wonderful experience. I just thank God for that, and I love her very dearly. So I just and that's what we're talking about. The last time that I was that I spoke, we talked about family reconciliation and restoration, and as the Lord leads, I'll continue to talk about relationships, and we're going to talk about relationships today. It's focusing more on marriages, but it can be for the family, other family members as well. And the last time that before you, we came from Genesis 33, when we talked about Isaac and Rebekah's family unit, and some of the things that they went through, some of the things that, you know, as a family unit that they encountered. And but it was all about restoration, about healing, about love, sacrifice, and forgiveness. And so that's what we talked about last time. So today we're still going to talk about relationships. And I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to go ahead and give what the Lord has wants to say today. So, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for another day. I thank you, O Lord God, for being gracious and merciful. I thank you, O Lord God, for whom all blessings flow. So I thank you for this word. I ask your blessings that, Lord, that as I come before your throne, O Lord, that I will hear from you clearly. I pray that I will not say anything out of my own intellect, O God, but I'll just decrease, Lord, as you increase on today, and that the Holy Spirit will speak, give revelation as we talk about families on today. Lord, I just thank you, God, that you are you are a relational God, and so I just thank you that you have given us this opportunity to learn more, to study more about relationships and about families. So, God, I just thank you and I praise you, from whom all blessings flow. In Jesus' name, amen. So bless the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So as we're talking about relationships, and like I said, mostly about marriages on today. This is February, and February is called the Love Month. And so, you know, there are a lot of things that we do to celebrate, you know, Valentine's Day, which is coming up on Sunday. Some people celebrate it in different ways. Some don't celebrate it. And a lot of times, I'm not focusing on this, but a lot of times the single people get left out of the Valentine's Day celebrations. But I just want to encourage every single person who's listening is that celebrate your own Valentine's Day. You know, get your own flowers, buy yourself a box of candy, you know, or, you know, have that time for yourself. Watch a movie. Do something special for yourself so we don't have to depend on someone else to make our day special. And don't forget to include Jesus Christ in that celebration. And so moving on, during this, you know, the pandemic, which, praise the Lord, I believe we're coming to a place where it's we can get back to a sense of normalcy. It may not be the, it'll be a new normal for sure. But during this stay-in-place time, especially at the beginning that people had to stay in place, I believe that during that time, what happened, relationships were either strengthened or they were broken. And so we hear of marriages that did not make it during that time. I think it's because people spent so much time together, marriages spent so much time together that they really began to see each other and see each other for who they, you know, who they are before, because there are so many other distractions and interruptions in our daily lives, like, you know, working, you know, trying to, you know, strengthen our careers, or, you know, whatever else, whatever those other distractions were that interfered with the marriage and interfered with that marriage prospering and growing and strengthening. So I think that during that time that people really began to see each other for who they were. And that includes not only husbands and wives, but the children as well. This was a perfect time for people to really, if they wanted to, their family, the family unit to be strengthened. This was really a time for people to get together, to understand each other, you know, to perfect their communication skills, to, you know, just find out about each other, to do things, to spend time. So, and I think that that was a good time to do that. And so now as we're talking about relationships on today, we want to talk about the good relationships and how some of the things that we can do to make our relationships stronger and healthier. As we see that in the Bible, the Bible gives a history of interpersonal conflict within relationships. It was beginning with Adam and Eve, who had a disagreement about why they sinned in the Garden of Eden. Then their first two sons had a conflict, which ended in murder. There was conflict with Joseph and his brothers. Jealousy led Saul to be in disagreement with David. And the disciples of Jesus argued among themselves who would be the greatest in heaven. So conflict and disagreement in relationships are not new. Although there are examples of interpersonal conflict in the Bible, it is never condoned. It's something that it is not a part of, you know, what our relationships should look like. There are many principles in the Bible that deal honestly with building and maintaining healthy relationships. And so just to quickly just think about this, you know, what can you do to make your relationships? So if you're thinking about your family relationships, your relationships with those who are your immediate family, or your extended family, or, you know, other relationships. So good relationships and conflict resolution always begin with Jesus Christ. And so there are some relationships that families have been torn apart for years. There's been a turmoil, conflict, but it's going to take determination and trusting in Jesus and his grace to help you stay on the path of healing. So Jesus wants our relationships to be healed. He wants our families to be made whole. He wants the relationships to be healthy. And so, but it does start with Jesus and having Jesus at the center of our relationships. And with those relationships, we want to include, you know, having respect for one another, having respect for yourself. If you don't respect yourself, no one else will. And value yourself as a person. Your love will not be valued by someone else if you don't believe your love has value. So there needs to be an exchange of respect and love. So in 1 Peter 2 and 17, it tells us that to show proper respect to one another, respect yourself and respect others. How do you speak to each other? You know, do you, you know, respect opinions allowing the person to express their opinions, and do you respect their space? You know, when they're needing space, just respecting yourself and respecting others as well. Then being loyal. You know, pray that God will help you to be faithful in your marriage, in your friendships, and your, you know, whatever relationship you're in. You know, be patient when you're provoked. Sometimes people are just easily offended by something someone has said or behavior that someone has exhibited, and then they're offended by that. But be patient. You know, love suffers long. Even being patient with those that you're wanting to have those relations, have a better relationship with, and it's not happening when you want it. But be patient. Love suffers long. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's long-suffering, the Lord, that Jesus is long-suffering toward us. God is long-suffering toward us. He's patient with us. So if he's patient with us, then we're to be patient with others as well. And then honesty. Be truthful with your feelings. Acknowledge the pain and acknowledge the pain the conflict may be causing in the relationship. So if you see that there's conflict in the relationship, acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge what is going on. What's causing this in the relationship? Take responsibility for your mistakes. And a lot of times people do not want to, I want to say a lot of times, but sometimes people do not want to take responsibility for their mistakes. They want to play the blame game. They want to put it on the other person. And the part you have in the misunderstanding. So it takes some time to search our hearts to get before the Lord and ask the Lord, what is the, what part am I playing in this? You know, what needs to be changed in my heart? Sometimes we want to fix the other person. We want God to fix the other person, but it's us that needs fixing first, all right, before we can move forward in the relationship and speak the truth in love. You know how to speak to the person. Know how to share what your thoughts are and your feelings are, or if somebody is, if you're uncomfortable about something or something, you're not pleased with something, but do it in love. Speak the truth in love. And do not try to talk or say something or speak something or communicate something when you're angry, you know, or you're trying to get even. You know, speak the truth in love. Not for any selfish intent, you know, just trying to, you want to say something to get back at that person or make that person feel angry or make that person feel the way that you're feeling. And then the next one is trust. Can you be found trustworthy? Keeping your word and promises creates trust in a relationship. Can you be trusted to keep confidential information? You know, if your spouse comes to you and shares something with you about it, can you keep that confident? That's the thing about a marriage, is that what goes on in the marriage needs to stay in the marriage. It's not to be shared with your best friend or your best friend. I want to say prayer partner. That's something that you have to go to the Lord about that one. And then, but not sharing with your friend, your best girlfriend or your best buddy or, you know, even with your family members. But it's something to be worked out with between you and your spouse within your family unit. Keeping that information confidential so that you all can work it out together. Too many hands in it, too many voices in it will cause even more confusion. Can you be trusted to do your part to stay committed to the relationship? You know, it takes commitment. It takes work in a relationship. What are you committed to making the relationship work? And it's not going to happen overnight, but it's going to take the patience, the long-suffering, and we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit in a minute. Communication, be able to talk it out. You know, sit down, take some time, make the time to talk it out, be forgiving, learn to forgive, and then deal with conflict as soon as it happens, not waiting, later. And then something else happens, and then you're just compounding and building all that anger up and all everything that has happened. The conflict happened, last week, and then something else comes up, and now you're compounding. That's been compounded with what happened the other week, and now there's even more anger and resentment and bitterness building up. Be sensitive to the other person's feelings. Listen carefully. Make time to communicate. A lot of times that, because of busy schedules, that people, family members, couples do not take the time to communicate. So it's very important to take that time to communicate. And then pray. Pray is essential. Praying for each other. Praying that not sikkim prayers. You know, not praying amiss, but praying. Praying that, you know, that hearts will be changed. Praying that, you know, that eyes of understanding will be opened. Just praying and asking God to show you your part that you pray, that you have in toward in this relationship. Praying for forgiveness where there's been disappointment and hurt. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Pursue those things that bring about peace in your relationship. So let love for one another endure all things. So pursuing those things that bring about peace, you know, this takes some action, some work on our part when we want to have peace in our relationship. You know, getting before the Lord, what is it that needs to be changed? As I said earlier, you know, searching our hearts. Is it how we speak to the person? You know, is it something that they need and we're not meeting that need? That if we have the ability and the capacity to do that, to meet that need, to meet that need, and let love for one another endure all things. That love of God that's in our hearts that strengthens us, that love will help us to endure all things, you know, that comes up in the relationship. So it's important to put God first, let Him be the center of every relationship, and it's getting before the Lord and just allowing Him to do the healing where there's healing needed. The relationship strengthens and as it grows, and just allowing God to heal. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about and going into when we talk about the relationships and some of the things that we can do, what are we doing? Understanding, you know, each other, understanding how a person thinks, you know, what is their understanding about love? You know, what is their background? So sometimes in relationships, people have learned behavior about love. Maybe they haven't received love from their parents, from their father, from their mother, or their father or mother showed it in a different way. And so that's how they learned it. And now that's what they experience. And now that's how they show love. And so in a relationship, that love, the way they show love, may not be the way that you are accustomed to receiving love or showing love. And so it can be, when we talk about learning each other, that's important to do that. So now I'm going to talk about the five love languages. And this is talking about more about marriages, as I said earlier. But we can apply, I believe we can apply this to our family members as well, which is children. Children have their love languages, which is a little bit more different. I mean, but they're still the same love languages, but they process it in a different way. But the five love languages, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of us have heard about the love languages. And sometimes the love languages is how a person receives love, how they show love. It's their primary way of showing love, okay? And if a couple, a married couple, don't understand each other's love languages, then somebody is going to feel that their love needs are not being met. So the blessing is, when we talk about blessing each other, we're talking about blessing in the marriage. The blessing is what we all long for. We all long for acceptance and affirmation. And we do, if you think about that. We want to be affirmed. We want to be accepted. So, in fact, to affirm something is to confirm its truth and to strengthen it. When you bless your spouse, you are speaking truth into his or her life, or are you calling out something you see that is positive? Again, as I said, that sometimes, you know, life happens, we get busy, jobs are stressful. There may be other things going on in a marriage, like financial situations or maybe health situations, and maybe the children, there are concerns about children. So all these things can happen, which the love languages or the love for each other may be there, but it gets pushed into the background, that the don't shown, it's not shown to each other. So when we think about acceptance and affirmation in relationships, we all want to be accepted and affirmed in some way. Our Heavenly Father modeled this blessing when Jesus was baptized. In a voice from heaven, God said, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So this was a blessing that God offered, this blessing to Jesus, He said, "You are my Son who I love, and you with you I am well pleased." That was an affirmation. That was a blessing. How many times have we and our relationships affirmed someone by letting them know something that is truth in about that person? We may think it. How many times, I know that sometimes I've thought something good about someone in my family, you know, in my immediate family. I thought something good, but then I think it, but it, that's as far as it goes. I don't ever speak it, you know, I don't ever get the time to speak it. And then when, you know, the opportunity presents itself, it's because, you know, then I, by that time, if there's an opportunity to present, to do that, you know, forgotten about it, or it got, you know, shoved into the other things of the day. So we have to be willing to be intentional about giving affirmations, you know, to our spouses and our children, that those who we care about. So God was honoring who Jesus was. He was honoring his character, his heart, not necessarily his actions or his behavior. So this is a time to really look at some, it's going to take some really time of reflection and thinking about this, thinking about the person's, your spouse's character, thinking about their values, thinking of what is it about them that you really, that really blesses you. You know, so what brought you together in the first place from the very beginning, you know, that got you to the point where you got married? So if Jesus benefited from his Father's blessing, your spouse will definitely benefit from yours. Your child will benefit from yours. So let's look at the words of affirmation. Ephesians 4 and 29 says, "Don't let one rotten word," and I'm reading from the Voice Bible. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Don't let one rotten word seep out of your mouth. Instead, offer only fresh words that build others up when they need it most. That way, your good words will communicate grace to those who hear them." My goodness. So sometimes we really have to ask the Lord to guard our mouths. Put a door over our mouths so that what we say is not coming out. We have to do a heart work, some heart work too, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we have to realize, you know, what is in our heart. If we have anger and bitterness and resentment in our hearts toward, you know, we're frustrated with our children, or we are frustrated, irritated with our spouses, that's what's going to come out. So we have to really do some heart work, get before the Lord and ask him to see what is in our hearts. Those so that we, the words that we speak, there will be words, we're going to communicate grace. We're going to communicate building encouragement, you know, words of encouragement, building that person up. Just imagine that your husband or your wife, you know, have had a long day is at work or whatever the other activities may be, whatever they may be involved with, and they've had a really hard day and they've gotten and they've received those fiery darts from all those other, from the maybe the people around them. They receive fiery darts throughout the day. And when they come home, they certainly should not be receiving fiery darts from fiery darts from you. So we want to make sure that you are going before the Lord and asking God to remove anything. Renew a right spirit within me. Give me a clean heart. So before, you know, trying to, talk with your loved one. So you want to have fresh words, words that will encourage and words that will build up when they need it most. So what are some of your, you need to look at when you talk about affirmations, you want to affirm who they are. So just thinking when I said get in a quiet place and do some reflection, what are the qualities that you treasure about your spouse? Think about that. You want to get the time and to write it out. Are they patient? Are they patient? Are they full of compassion? You know, is they somebody that that you can really depend on? Are they flexible? You know, do they have discernment? Are they gentle? You know, do they have integrity? What other things, what other characters do you see about your spouse? You can affirm them and let them know that's what you like, that affirm them in those traits, in those quality traits. Let them know that you appreciate those qualities in them. And then what about the personality traits? Like, is the person affectionate? Are they fun-loving? You know, they have a good sense of humor. Are they sensitive or detailed? You know, whatever those personality traits are, affirm them about that. And then what has your spouse done that you really appreciate, that you were so grateful for? Now, let them know that. Let them know how much you appreciated that. It could be something as simple as maybe washing the dishes for you or something, just anything just that you've just really, you needed that or you just appreciated that you were grateful for that. You know, so just think about those things. And then if you don't know what the needs are, if you're not sure, just sit down and have a conversation and just ask them, you know, what are you need? What do you need? What do you need from me? Now, just sitting down and having that conversation together, uninterrupted, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, uninterrupted conversation. So determine what the relational needs are by asking, and then what are some of the relational needs that you may need to find out, that you may need to ask. It could be affection, you know, quality time, encouragement, respect. You know, some of these things, the relational things that you may need and they are not giving to you. Maybe feeling safe, attention, you know, and this can go for children as well. So that's the first one, words of affirmation. And then the second one is acts of service. We've heard the phrase, action speak louder than words. So I remember, and I'm going to reference my father in some of these because this is what I observed when he was alive. And when my parents were alive, and I observed this about my father, when we talk about actions speak louder than words, my father would, every Sunday morning, he would prepare the car for church. You know, he would just get up, he would make sure everything is ready for us to go to church. He would you know, be very attentive to whatever our needs are for my mother, to make it the, you know, getting ready, getting prepared to go to church. Everything was in order. All we had to do was just, you know, gather up and get in the car and just and go. So actions speak louder than words. A spouse might tell her husband or wife that they love them and not show it. So if the love language for that person is acts of service, tell them that you love them. Telling them that you love them will not meet that need of feeling love. So someone can say, I love you. You know, the spouse might tell them, you know, I love you, but then they don't ever show it. But if that person's love language is acts of service, for that person's acts of service, telling them that you love them will not meet that need of feeling love. So you have to do something. You know, as I said, it can be just a small act. It doesn't have to be anything grand, but showing that person that you love them. Maybe they need help with, you see that there is something that needs to be repaired, and this is, you know, in the house, and you've been putting it off and putting it off. But just doing that act of service, just doing that, will show that person if it's important to the person. Or if maybe the husband has a special program that he likes to watch, right? And you want to, you know, give him time to do that without interruption. You know, just an act of service. You know, something that he would be grateful for, just to let you know that, okay, that person is feeling loved. And that's the whole part of the love languages when we're talking about that, is that person feeling loved. And everybody, we talk about the love languages, it's going to be different for every person, but every person is going to have that main love language that is important to them, that makes them feel loved. And then we talk about the other services, the spiritual service. So you can, you know, being obedient to God and acknowledging him in all your ways in the relationship, making Jesus the center of your marriage. Otherwise, the potential is there to make that spouse an idol. So you want to have the spiritual service, providing the spiritual service. That's an act of service. Maybe the, you know, going to a church service together, or another act of faith, you know, listening to music together, or whatever that spiritual service would be to strengthen your marriage, you know, and make that marriage stronger, especially if, you know, having God in the center. So let the fruit of the Spirit be manifested in your marriage. So if you have the fruit of the Spirit in your marriage, then you can serve with love. You will serve with joy. You will serve with peace and self-control. You will serve with long-suffering. You will serve with kindness and gentleness. So the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in your marriage, that act of service is going to be with all those, like I just said, the fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, and the self-control. Long-suffering, you know, forbearing one another in love. That means that, you know, being patient with that person, they may not change overnight, but you know that because you are trusting the Lord and God will be in the center of it, but being patient and trusting God to make the change happen. We see a demonstration of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That was a demonstration of his love. That was an act of service. His act of service was healing the sick. He was showing compassion and empathy to those around him. So that was an act of service. What is your act of service? What are some ways you can show acts of service in your relationship? You know, you could maybe cooking dinner for a special dinner, or taking responsibility for if one spouse is responsible for, say, the financial part of it, you know, like writing out the bills and keeping the books or whatever. Maybe just taking the responsibility if it's once in a while to do that. Or, helping with the children, or just, you know, so what can you show as an act of service? What can you show as an act of service in your marriage? And then the next love language is receiving gifts. So my father always blessed my mother with gifts on special occasions. He always did. Whatever the birthdays, Mother Day, he always blessed her with gifts. But for some individuals, receiving gifts is their primary love language, and receiving gifts is when they feel the most love. So again, you have to find out what is your spouse's primary love language. And so when receiving gifts is when they feel the most love, then getting gifts, you know, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. It's the most, and the person on the receiving end will feel loved. The next one, the next love language is quality time. This is so important because we have so many distractions these days. All these electronic devices, you know, cell phones. Before the pandemic, we would go out and see people, families, eating out. Everybody has a cell phone out. No conversations going on. No engagement. But everybody's eating. You know, they're at the tables, but everybody's on their phones. So, quality time. Speaking the language of quality time means giving your spouse your undivided attention. We can apply this to parents as well when spending quality time with their children. You cannot say that you are spending quality time with someone if you're on your phone playing games or whatever, scrolling the social media, or you're watching TV, and that person is, you know, you're not engaged with that person because your attention is divided between whatever else you're doing and that person who's talking to you. So Jesus spent quality time with his disciples when he was alone with his disciples. He taught them about meaning of the parables. He took three of his disciples on a high mountain where he was transfigured. So he valued quality time. Turn off the electronics and engage in eye-to-eye conversation with your family member. Listen more than talk. The conversation does not have to be long, and only if it's a serious matter and you all need to discuss something, work out something. But 20 minutes out of your day will bring joy to your loved one. And listening, that's the biggest thing, learning to listen. Learning to listen. And that is, it takes some really perseverance and being intentional about listening, because sometimes our thoughts can be somewhere else. We're thinking, you know, we're listening to the person, but we're not listening. But being intentional about listening to what they're saying. And then the last love language is physical touch. And we all know that before babies can even understand the concept of love, they feel loved by touch. That's why when you have babies who are born prematurely, that they have touch, it helps them to thrive. So touch, physical touch, done in love and with respect, it can help a relationship thrive. So physical touch is powerful when it is given in love. So if there's an individual whose primary love language is touch, will appreciate a hug. They appreciate a touch on the hand, a touch on the shoulder as you pass by, or other physical touches. Holding hands. My last memory of my parents was that when they came to visit me, we were at the mall, and they were walking ahead of me, and they were holding hands in the mall. And I thought they were so sweet, you know. So, other ways to show the person, if that's their primary language, love language, is physical touch, then take the initiative and reach out to your spouse, reach out to your children, reach out to, to make that, let them know that you are thinking about them, that you love them. And this is, like I said, if there's their primary love language, that they will appreciate it, and it will say to them, you know, that, okay, this is, they really do love me. You know, a kiss, walking on the beach, you know, as I said, holding hands. So whatever that physical touch is that will let that person know that that they are appreciated and that they are that they know that you are showing your love. So those are the love languages, and I hope that this has helped. I hope that this has been a blessing to us on today, and understanding about the five love languages and understanding about relationships in general, and just how, you know, God wants our relationships to prosper. He wants our relationships to thrive. He wants our marriages to prosper and thrive. And so I pray that what has been said today, that it will help help with your family relationships, especially your marriages. And I pray that that if you are struggling in any area, you know, that get with the Lord, and seek the Lord about how to proceed with you know, with showing your love language and understanding about love languages. And I think if you even Google, you can Google love language assessments to show, you know, if you and your spouse, you know, what your major love languages are. And even with your family, with your children, you can do that as well, if they're able to do that. And so I just pray that that God would bless every family that's listening on today. I pray that marriages will be restored. I pray that marriages will thrive. I pray that Jesus will be the center of every family unit that's listening on today. And I pray where there's conflict and confusion that that the love of God will show strong in the lives of the individuals. I pray that any hurt and pain that they're experiencing, God, I pray for healing. I pray for marriages that may be on the brink of divorce. I pray, God, for healing and restoration. I pray, Lord, for the ability to listen to each other. I pray that words that are spoken will be words of encouragement. So, Lord, I pray that you will bless every family that's listening, that's represented here on today. God, that help us, O Lord, to understand each other. Help us to respect one another. Help us, O Lord God, to search our hearts and allow you, God, to search our hearts and to renew a right spirit within us. Give us understanding and what our part is in helping the relationships to flourish and to prosper. So, God, I just thank you and I praise you, from whom all blessings flow, giving you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know someone got a question or something. Probably in some kind of relationship. You got children, you're still in a relationship. You got a man or woman, you're still in a relationship. Praise God. Okay, we open up for some questions for those of you that are listening. All right, come on, ask a question. Oh, yeah.
Apostle Gloria?
Yes?
Yeah, before we go on with the questions, I do need to leave at 10:15. Got the line at 2:15 for an appointment. I do apologize, but I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay. All right. All right. We thank God for the word. We thank God for the word. And y'all can listen on Blog Talk at a later date at this broadcast. You can still ask a question. We got Bishop in here too. Praise God. He can answer some questions. And then those of you on the line may can answer somebody's question also. Mm-hmm. Anybody? No? Praise the Lord. We thank God for We still thank God for the word. Amen. We thank God for the word. Yes, indeed. It should make your relationship a little better to with somebody, you know. Whoever you're with, it should make it better, you know, because we all come short. And while she was talking, you know, you can think about what you ain't doing. It ain't about the other person, what they not doing. Think about what you not doing. You see what I'm saying? So, therefore, I know there's a question, okay? You know, because some couples are indifferent to one another. Amen. Just so they need a therapist, don't they? Hallelujah. Amen. But nobody's gonna admit they need help. Okay. No, I don't need no help. They the one need help. You know. No, both of you need help. All right. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's lots can be done about relationships to make better. Maybe it wouldn't be so much anger in the world if relationships was better. Now think about it. Yes. The pandemic should have brought people together. Amen.
Yes.
Should have brought people together. Instead, I say, good Lord. They married these people and they didn't know the person. And they find out a whole lot of stuff they don't like. You know, well, they must be had that off-on kind of thing. But anyway, praise God. You know, you need to ask somebody before you get married. You need to ask some questions. I say do a little investigation. You see, investigating on both sides. Your family line. You don't know what that family line. I know people think I'm crazy, but let me tell you one thing. Experience is the best teacher, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to find out more than just say, oh, I love you, and your loins get to copping, you know, and everything, and you want to just, you know, go on. That's what you want to go. You in a hurry to get, you know, what you in a hurry to get. Praise God. Amen. And you don't take time to know the person. You don't take time to find out what is their lineage. What kind of anger do they possess? What type of person are they when things don't go their way? You know, there's a lot of things you have to find out. You need to find out. And I found out we didn't never take time. I know I never took time. Praise God. Amen. And I got some doozy. Praise the Lord. Now, that's me. But listen, I said that I was going to do that. Always say to them, do you know them? Okay? You can be with somebody 20 years and still don't know. There's some things because in a newspaper article, this man, he was married and had children and everything. He's been married about 40 years or so. And, you know, none of his people knew him, nobody. He was a serial killer. Now, he's been married 40 years. The wife ain't no children, none of the children know nothing. And when they found out, he locked up now, of course. He locked up now. But can you imagine being married all that time and the woman to have no idea, the children don't have no idea? He must have was a good actor. God is a good actor. So you never know what you're marrying or getting into the relationship. And some people, well, I don't believe in marriage. Well, maybe you got a good idea, but you're still in a relationship and you're bound to that person. Because if y'all doing the same thing the married couple do, you still bound to them, right? And you have a tie with them. You done tied up your life with them, and you know your DNA has exchanged, you know, praise God, with each other and all. So now, why are you going to say, I ain't marrying them? Well, you might as well. You done lived with them 20 years. You might as well. You got a relationship there, don't you? See, so I know y'all listening, but you ain't saying nothing. And my board ain't lit up for nobody to ask a question. And, well, I'll ask the best I know, and Bishop asks, and maybe Diana asks too, because, amen, ask a question. Do you have a question, Diane? No, she ain't got no question. Oh, well, Bishop want to make a comment. Okay, at least we got something right quick. Yeah.
I just want to thank God for you, Ella Addison, and thank God because it's much needed today about relationships. And I know that you is a counselor and you run into a lot of situations and things. And we that is in ministry, you know, people will come to you and they will come to you about personal, you know, by themselves and by relationships. And as you was ministering, I zero in on Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 29 that you read. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And I do think, a lot of times in relationships when we get upset, that's why we should think before we speak. Because once you say it, you can't take it back. And a lot of times words, you know, they used to say sticks and stone may break my bone, but words don't bother me. That's a lie from the devil's pit. See, words will cut to the marrow of the bone. So we have to be real mindful of that in a relationship. Three C's that I that God give me when I counsel people that wants to get married, Ella Addison. And one is the communication. That's first. You ought to be able to talk ye with one another. Two, commitment. You got to be committed. And three, caring. And if you put them three C's, I do believe, praise God, in your relationship, you'll make it. That's right. Do you agree with that? What you think about that, Ella Addison?
Yes, I do agree with that. I do believe that communication is very important. A lot of times misunderstandings happen because people don't know how to, they just don't know how to communicate. They are lacking in the communication skills and just how to, like you said, how to communicate with each other. And a lot of it is learned behavior too. It's how a person, you know, how they received from their caretakers, their parents, their parents or whoever that person was that was responsible for taking care of them. And if that person didn't, the communication skills in that home wasn't healthy, the communication skills were not healthy or, you know, effective, and then that person takes it and that's all they know. So as you said, it, I think it was Apostle Gloria said that, you know, if you need to get help, if a person needs to get help, it's okay to reach out to ask for help, you know,
right.
Going to the clergy, going to you know, professional mental health providers. So it's that part of it. But I do believe that communication is very, very important and for relationships
right.
To thrive like they should.
Right. One time it came up in the church about a perfect marriage, a perfect relationship. And this was my response. I said, there's no such thing. Because when you say perfect, that means you're not going to have no misunderstandings, no arguments, you know, and you're not going to get angry. You're not going to fall out, you know. That's all, I do believe that's all part of a relationship. And my thing, speaking for myself, is like a relationship is just like building a house. And after you done, it's new, it's fresh, everything is good. But after years pass by, months pass by, you know, things break down. You need a new roof. You ain't going to sit there and let it continue to rain in your house. So you got to do what? Put a new roof. You had to work on it. Am I right? And same thing with the plumbing. You have other things that you have to work on. So I just thought I'd just say, so as it is in the natural, the same in the spirit. So I know you got to go. So what you think about that right quick? You got 30 seconds.
Yes, you're right that it does take work to keep a marriage, to keep any relationship, you know, like I said, to keep it growing, to keep it maturing, to keep it flourishing, to keep it prospering. But one of the things that I was thinking about, that sometimes people will have, when they get into relationships, especially in marriages, that when you come from a different background, that sometimes people may not understand why a particular person, you know, does their behavior is one way. And it may not be anything negative, but it's just not understanding. So I know one time this couple, this lady said that she and her husband came from different backgrounds, but he always, when he went to bed at night, he always put his shoes under the bed, you know, right there at the bed. And so, and she never could understand why he did that. But in getting to know him later on, she realized that when he was growing up, they always had to keep their belongings close to in case they needed to leave immediately. And so she had to learn about him. She didn't understand about him. So that's important too, when people come from different backgrounds, that get to know each other and understand why they have certain behaviors, so that it does not cause conflict or confusion in that relationship. But it's all about understanding, and just getting to know people, understanding. And I think just like I said, you know, earlier, that there's so much going on, there's so many distractions that keep people from really sitting down and just getting to know each other and understanding why they behave this way. Yes.
Okay. All right. God bless you. We're not going to hold you. No, you got to go.
Okay.
You got another appointment. So God bless you. And I want to ask our viewers and them that listening, praise God, to call us and and write us and let us know what you think about, amen, the message, and Ella Addison, the messenger. If you'd like to send an offering, praise God. She, you know, hey, amen, she received it. God bless you. All right. Back into the
phone. Thank you so much. All right, be blessed.
You too. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We just thank God for that word coming for today from Elder Addison. And it was an awesome word, especially that love language and talking about, you know, relationship. And it is true, you know, that love language, because people express and show and receive love differently. They can only go by, you know, some people go by what they saw their parents doing or someone in their household doing, showing love. You know, love is universal. Love is God. And that's what we need. And I remember one of the affirmations from Apostle, that she said, baptize us, Lord, with your agape love, because we don't know love, and we need to show forth love in relationship, whether it be with a husband and wife, whether it be with your children or your family members. Some people don't know how to show forth love. They don't. You know, growing up, you'll hear, oh, if you don't beat me, you don't love me.
Oh, no.
Craziness, because to this day you see people stay in a relationship, a very abusive relationship, because what they think that's love when it's not love. That person is abusive. Call it what it is. But show forth love today in your relationship. The little things that, you know, you can do for your loved one. You can, you know, give your wife a massage. Give your husband a massage. It's just not just on one side. It's both. You know, you can do it, you know. Do something nice, and they say February is love month. Yes, that's what they recognize February as, the heart month. But you know what? Love is 365, 24/7. You show it every day. You don't have to give a gift on just a special occasion. You could give a gift at any point in time. Can we do that or just say, oh, no, it's not their birthday. It's not Valentine's Day. It's not Christmas. Do it just because. Just because you thought about them and they may be having a bad day. You could even write for those that are married, you know, you could just write a note and, you know, put it somewhere where they can see it, and you'll see the smile that comes to their face. It's just the little things that that you do. You know, your children, give them a hug. Tell them you love them. Mothers, fathers, hug your children, especially the men, and let them know that it's okay to show affection. Let them know it is okay to tell, you know, their brothers and sisters that they love one another. We in a world today that is just violent. Is violent, and you don't know if that's going to be the last time you're going to see your loved one. You see that argument that you had amongst, you know, your husband or your wife or your brother or your sister or one of your family members. You never know if that is the last time that you're going to hear from them, you're going to see them. You don't know. In this world today, you don't know. So it's best to show forth love. See the goodness in the person. You may not like what they do. And we are not supposed to like the sin. That don't mean that you can't love the person. So show forth love today. You walking down the street, you look and you see someone, you know, have an expression on their face that, you know, you don't know whether, you know, they're ready to give up on life or whatever, but you'll be surprised walking past someone and saying good morning or hello or even just smiling, and you know how you nod your head. That might have been the only smile or kind gesture that they see for that day. Ask God for you to be sensitive in the spirit. Know when to say something. Know when to just listen. Know when to give someone a hug. See, one thing I like with Apostle, she'll make you laugh quick, fast, in a hurry. And she knowing me, I know sometimes she just want to knock me against my head. But whenever I'm upset and she lags, what's wrong? And I'm good. You know, the look on her face tell you something else. Like, but she will always get you out of it. She will make you laugh. No matter what it is that you're going through, she'll make you laugh. and you thank God for the people in your life that show forth love. Appreciate them. Thank God for them. And ask God to work on you, that you're able to do the same thing for someone else. Show forth that love. That love and respect. So you know what? If you missed this broadcast from the beginning today, you can visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries and click on the link, and you can hear the broadcast from the beginning. It was an awesome word today. Love. Can we love today? Can we love in relationship? Can we stand in a relationship? Do that today. Go to our Facebook page, click on the link, and listen. Share it with a friend today. Don't be ashamed. You know, tune in tomorrow, and you're going to hear another awesome woman of God coming forth with the word, Pastor Sharon. Share the broadcast with a friend. There is some awesome word that been coming forth, word of correction, word of examination, self-examination. Come on now. Y'all, be truthful with the word. Be truthful with yourself hearing the word. So join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that calling number is 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell a friend. Till then, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things start happening.
I stop looking at back then.
When I let go,
I let go,
and
I let God,
let him have. So much going on, sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah.
As soon as I stop
worrying,
worrying how the story is,
I can let go.
I let go, and
I can let God,
let
him have,
let God have
his way.
That's when things start happening. I stop looking at that.
Oh, when I let go,
I let go, and
I let him have, let go, let God, let go, and let God, let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God.